I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Bill Van Der Zandt was premier from 1986 to 1991. He began his political career in the mid-1960s as an alderman in Surrey and was its mayor from 1969 to 1975. He was first elected to the legislature in 1975 and served in various portfolios in the Bill Bennett government. He ran for the Federal Liberals in 1968 and for mayor of Vancouver in 1984. Throughout, he was successful in the nursery and gardening business. In 1986, he succeeded Bill Bennett as premier and leader of the Social Credit Party. He joins me now to discuss his new book, an autobiography, For the People. It is available from his website, billvanderzandt.com. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program the 28th premier of the province of British Columbia, Bill Van Der Zandt. Good morning, Mr. Van Der Zandt.
Good morning, Joseph.
Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
How did you get into the world of politics? Was that always a goal of yours growing up?
No, it wasn't. I knew very little about it. It was actually a bunch of very kind neighbors that came by one day and convinced me that I should become involved with them in saving the Invergarry Park, which is just above Port Mann in Surrey, near the Port Mann Bridge. It was a park, and the council proposed to make it into a gravel pit. And the neighbors came to me and said, look, how can we stop them from doing this? We ended up planting rhododendrons all over the banks and azaleas and things that I donated at the time. And we had a big work crew, and we thought we had it beat. The council couldn't possibly turn that into a gravel pit after we did all that and made it look so pretty. Well, the council, as happens so often with government, they didn't pay much attention and went ahead anyway, even though I thought I had made a pretty good presentation to the council one Wednesday afternoon. But it failed, so I got upset and said, you know what, the only way to beat them is to join them. Well, I guess it worked for a time somewhat.
Did you regret your time in politics at all, or did you enjoy it?
You know what, I don't think I ever enjoyed politics or politicians a whole lot. I did enjoy very much, and still do to this day, getting out, meeting with people, going to town halls or whatever, and addressing issues. I enjoyed the cabinet meetings. I did not enjoy the legislature all that much because I thought so much of it was used to waste time and to beat up on one another. But all in all, did I enjoy it? I guess certain aspects of it, but a whole lot I didn't.
Now, you ran in 1968 for the Federal Liberals in Surrey, is that right?
1968, that's right, against Barry Mather, who was a prominent columnist at the time in the Vancouver Sun, and he was the NDP member, had a solid base, couldn't beat him. Came close, but couldn't beat him.
And that was the Trudeau mania, I guess, right?
That was the Trudeau mania, and I look back at it now, and I say to myself, how did we ever get involved in that, particularly me, but it happened.
Now, you discussed meeting Trudeau in the book. What was he like?
With Pierre?
Yeah.
Well, he was a friendly, convincing, outgoing sort of, well, outgoing maybe an overstatement, but he was certainly a convincing fellow, and we had some pleasant talks. He was without a doubt a very intelligent man. I don't know about all of his smarts, mind you, but he was definitely a very intelligent person.
And another prime minister that you had some dealings with, and this was when you were premier, was Brian Mulroney.
Quite a few dealings with Brian Mulroney. That was during my time, and we often had to negotiate various issues and certainly try to convince them, as they're still doing to this day, that BC needs a fair shake and that Canada is more than just Ontario, Quebec, and the Maritimes. Still going on today, but those were some of the issues discussed time and time again.
Did you like dealing with Mulroney?
He was probably one of the best negotiators that I've ever met. He was a very pleasant man, very considerate in many ways. If there was a birthday, an anniversary, a mishap, something happened in the family or whatever it was, he would be the first on the telephone to either congratulate or commiserate. He was a very nice man in that respect, but like all of us, he had his hang-ups. One of his being, I guess, that he was a rather egotistical person, number one. Number two, I don't think he wanted to ever lose, though he did several times, but he didn't want to lose. He was not a good loser. He found it difficult. He held grudges, but we got along.
Now, were you approached by the Socreds and Bill Bennett, or did you just go into the provincial politics in 1975 on your own?
Well, actually, as you've already said, I was a liberal at the time.
Yeah.
Though, liberalism back then was a whole lot different from what it is today. The Conservative Party is not even where it is or was the liberals were at back then. So liberalism has changed, but I was a liberal, and the liberals at the time were joining in with the social credit because they were unhappy with the NDP and Dave Barrett. And what happened was that I was approached by a fellow by the name of Tom Good, who was the mayor of Delta at the time. I was the mayor of Surrey. He was the mayor of neighboring Delta. And we had also, as mayors, often come together. And he came to me and said, look, Bill, you've got to meet with Bill Bennett. We're trying to get liberals to join in with social credit so as to beat the NDP. And I conceded. I said, at first I was rather reluctant, but I conceded to meet. And the meeting went very well here in Delta. And I ended up joining back in 1975. I guess it was May 1975. And, of course, I ran in the election in November of 75 and was sworn in early January 1976.
And you served in various portfolios, as I said earlier. As a cabinet minister, did you enjoy that role?
Yeah, I did. I guess looking at politics overall, the most satisfying role was being the mayor of Surrey. Because when you're the mayor or a councillor, you're close to people and you don't have to be concerned about party politics or towing the party line. So I think that's probably the most enjoyable part of my political life. But I also enjoyed being a cabinet minister, particularly the first job I was given, Minister of Human Resources, a very unlikely appointment, at least they thought so at the time. But it worked out very well. I had a good relationship with staff, and we managed to make many positive changes.
What was Bill Bennett like to work for or with?
Bill Bennett, he's called a bit of a loner, and he certainly is and was, and that's the only criticism I have, I guess. I was often very outspoken, said things that perhaps from time to time bothered the Premier and my colleagues, no doubt, because I was forthright and said what was on my mind on various issues, including those proposed by government. And I expected so many times that Bill would call me in and say, hey, Bill van der Zandt, what are you doing this for? Or what's up? Or why did you say that? Or explain yourself. He never did. I could never quite figure that out. That was the only mystery, but we got along very well. Bill was a very intelligent guy and a very smart guy, and I think he did good things.
After you took over, after he retired, did you get along well?
It was suggested at one time by someone else in a book that I failed to meet with Bill Bennett even after he had invited me to give advice on what it is I might do or not do. That was not true. I was never invited. I didn't impose myself on him. He sort of took off and went by himself on the lake and off to Palm Springs and other places. He was not one to communicate all that freely, and so we didn't meet, no. We saw one another at various functions from time to time, not too often at that, but meet to discuss things, no, and I wish I had or had the opportunity, but we didn't.
The allegation was that you had sent Peter Toigo to that meeting. Is that true?
Absolutely untrue. No such thing. First of all, I would never do that. I couldn't think of doing that. And if I were to send somebody in my place, which I wouldn't do, it would have been a minister or someone like that, or my deputy, certainly not Peter Toigo. Nice man, got along fine, but I wouldn't send him on that sort of mission.
When was it that your religion and your faith became not a liability, but it became something that people talked about in the press, and that they used it against you almost?
Well, I guess it was always there because I tend to wear it a bit, and I guess if you're someone of faith, you do wear it, you should wear it, so it's obvious to people. It never was much an issue during my time in municipal politics, and not so much during my time provincially during Bill Bennett's term, but it became an issue during my time, especially and most especially when the abortion issue became so controversial in early 1988.
Do you think that a politician, I mean, you write in the book that anyone with faith who can check their faith at the door, any door, isn't worth their faith at all. And Paul Martin was the one who said that he was able to do that. You don't think that was true, that he was able to do that, do you?
No, I don't think you can park your faith unless the faith doesn't mean a whole lot to you. You can't park it at the door. It goes with you. It comes with you. And you know, those that say they have no faith, there's no such thing. Every void gets filled with something. So it may not be a religious belief of one kind or another, but there's always something that fills the void. So everyone has their biases. Everyone has their favoritisms. There's no question about that, and that's okay. That's why you have election campaigns. You ask the questions. It comes out. If you don't like it, you don't vote for the person. And I made no secret of it.
So can the atheist, can the agnostic, can they be a good leader?
I find it very difficult. I think you have to have hopefully a set of values that is visible and acceptable to the majority of people. Someone who's, of course, I don't believe there are that many atheists. Again, I think there's a void that gets filled with something, and it may not be the God that you or I or any of the people listening have, but it's certainly something that is their God. So can they be good leaders? I suppose there are those that if they have other qualities that come to the fore during that term at the time, they could probably or possibly do a fair job, but I think it's more difficult.
When did you leave provincial politics the first time?
You know what? I was very frustrated after having been the Minister of Municipal Affairs. I had worked very hard, worked for a long time, trying to introduce what I called a BC Planning Act, an act which allowed us to plan for not just today, but for decades and maybe centuries to come, the whole of the province, with respect to towns, cities, forestry, the environment, mining, all of the industries. I thought it was so important, especially as I looked at what was happening in Nanaimo and Kelowna and some of the other places where we had solid strip development. It happened in my own municipality of Surrey for a time. And I was very concerned about that, and I wanted to have a means whereby the people would actually have some say in the planning process and see us look forward for many years to come. And it was accepted by government after quite a battle. And when finally I brought it into the legislature, there was initially good support, though obviously I was getting hammered by the NDP, but that's par for the course. You know, the opposition has the hammer, I guess. But anyway, it went through first reading, it went through second reading, and finally, during third reading, the House leader walked in and said, "We're closing the House. The Lieutenant Governor is coming," and that actually lost my bill. It never saw the light of day again.
And that's when you called your cabinet colleagues gutless.
And I called them gutless, a gutless bunch, and I continued on and actually became Minister of Education because Bill Bennett was having big problems with the budget, and he needed someone, I guess, that could go into education and try to straighten out a few things. So I was given the honor of being given a very high post. Education is a very high position in the cabinet. And I was there for a time, and then when I knew that election would be called, I said, no, I'm not going to run again. I'm going to sit aside for a while.
And then you came back in 1986 in that convention in Whistler. It's legendary now. Did you go into that expecting to win?
You know, I guess perhaps every politician has an ego, me included. And you don't go into things thinking that you're going to lose. You tend to think, I stand at the very least a very good chance. I just need to work at it. So I guess I was no different than the others. Didn't go in to lose. Even the one that came in last thought he was going to win. So I went in to win. Yeah, and I thought I was going to win.
And so you become premier in 1986. People were warning you, even at the convention, about your colleagues, and some of your colleagues, I should say. And that, did you see some of that disloyalty already?
Yeah, I saw it at the convention already, particularly with Grace McCarthy, who had made a promise that if I did better than she did, that she and her forces would join in with me, which never happened. She stayed in there till the very end, and she didn't, in the end, support anyone. But, there was a little disloyalty visible already at the convention, but it definitely became more obvious as time wore on. Not so much initially. When I was first the premier, for the first year, things went reasonably well, and people appeared to cooperate, but then the cracks began to develop soon after.
Do you think you could have handled it differently?
Oh, knowing what I know now, I would handle it very differently. First of all, I would bite the bullet and not do as Churchill said, be magnanimous in defeat and bring in your enemies, try to make them friends. I think I would do it very differently. But that's only knowing what I know now. At the time, I thought, the best way to make peace is to bring everybody in on side, pulling towards the same end, but it didn't work.
In reading the book, I was wondering, did you write this to get even with a lot of people?
I wrote it in order to set the record straight and in order to spell it all out as to what happened. As you'll have noticed, I talk about my personal life and where I came from and what I did, and I think that sort of sets the stage as to why I did and said some of the things I did. But then as I go through the, particularly towards the end of the book, I also spell out what it is the NDP did and the Liberals did and how and what the hypocritical things that happen within political parties. And then at the very end, I go into the philosophical, which a lot of people find very interesting. Yeah, in short, it was to set the record straight and to put things down historically forevermore.
See, I'm wondering, page 487 of the book, you write that you forgive and forget past misdemeanors of Grace McCarthy. You also talk about Brian Smith and his disloyalty. Nowadays, do you still see them? Do you talk to them? Do you get along with them, I wonder?
Get along. I don't have to associate much with them now, so I don't see them. They're not drinking buddies, or they're not people I meet up with regularly, but if I see them, I'm friendly, and so are they. At least they try and be. So I don't hold grudges. I find it very... Sometimes that's a bit of a downer because, you tend to, again, get mixed up with people perhaps you need to stay away from. But, no, I hold no grudges. I can't do that.
And even Mike Harcourt?
I've seen Mike Harcourt numerous times. I know that he used tactics that I could not agree with, and I spell it out in the book. But, no, I can get along with Mike, and we could sit down and have lunch together. It wouldn't bother me.
The whole Fantasy Gardens thing, knowing what you know now, in hindsight, could you have handled it better?
Yeah, in hindsight, again. But, hindsight's not always a way that you can measure things. At the time, when we were dealing with these Taiwanese people for the sale of the Fantasy Gardens, they wanted things kept very confidential and quiet. I also feared the media had been chasing me. They had been after me so many times saying, you having your wife in the gardens, people going there and all that sort of thing, you being there from time to time on weekends or, you know, just talking about it is a conflict. And so I was fearful that the media, while they had been attacking me and suggesting I ought to be getting rid of the place, would maybe make things difficult if they knew I was, in fact, selling it and getting a fair price. I feared that. I was also thinking that the best way to avoid conflict is not to bring it to the legislature or to the parliament buildings and to tell people there about it. So I was doing it all very confidentially, thinking that was the best route to go. In retrospect, looking back, hindsight, maybe I should have said, hey, I'm selling the gardens. Here's what I'm selling for it. If you don't like it too darn bad, I'm going ahead. And I'm helping my wife somewhat. She needs the help. She's my wife, and I'm going to help her all I can. Maybe that's what I should have said.
Do you wish you'd called an election sooner? And if you'd called it, say, in 1990, do you think you could have beaten Mike Harcourt?
Yes, there were a number of times during my term that I should have called an election, and we could have won, I think, with a big majority. We were providing very good government. We were the first government in the history of the province to actually reduce debt. We did have a rainy day account, a budget stabilization account, in the event of bad times. We were saving up for bad times, which should have been done here more recently for the times we're suffering today. We were balancing the budget and the only government to do so in the whole of Canada for a time, and we did so three times in a row, which was unheard of. We were, by all measures, and this was recognized in the Seattle newspaper, I still have a copy of it someplace, the most forward-looking province and place among states and provinces in North America.
Someone that you talk about in the book that's obviously indispensable to your life and your career was your wife Lillian, is your wife Lillian. And I recall a couple years ago, both of you had done these ads for ICBC. Is that right? You did these commercials on television about the, I guess, some sort of new membership that they had?
Yeah, BCAA.
Oh, BCAA,
yeah,
pardon
me. The BC Automobile Association.
And so talk to me about Mrs. Vanderzam, Lillian Vanderzam's role in your life and just how indispensable she was.
Well, we've been in love since she was 15 and I was 17. We got married when she was 17 and I had just turned 21. And we're now married going on 53 years. We're still in love. We miss one another if we're apart for any time. We work very close on practically anything and everything. And she was much better a people's person than I was. She could communicate so beautifully. And she insisted my phone be always listed. She says, if you're in politics, your name, more than anyone's, needs to be in the telephone book. And I, for the whole of my political career, my telephone number was always in the book. She was a great communicator and still is, of course.
And so the both of you are retired now, is that right?
No, I still have a nursery business in Ladner. I grow lilacs. It started out as a hobby. It got out of control. It became the biggest lilac nursery in North America. I'm trying to cut back now, which is a lot more difficult. I have a nursery in Oregon, and again, it was bought for my daughter and her husband. They ran it for a time. Then they wanted to come back to Canada, and that was fine. I've still got the nursery. I've had it for 15, 17 years, and I'm trying to sell it now, too, as a way of downsizing. I was involved in some real estate in the desert of Southern California. I wish now I hadn't been, but it's not looking so good. But it keeps me busy going back and forth and trying to attend to it. So I'm still very busy, but you know, being busy is the way to keep young.
And you still follow politics closely, don't you?
Not that terribly closely. I see what's happening. I try to keep track of what's happening. But as you know, it's tough. Once you've been there, you become a great critic. You look at everything differently because you know the behind-the-scenes stuff. So you become too much a critic, and it's frustrating. So I try not to get too involved.
You write about some of this in your book about the current political climate. What does Bill Vander Zem do, say, in May, in this forthcoming election? Who do you support?
I have a problem with that, because I don't like... You well appreciate that socially, on the social issues, I don't identify with either the Liberals or the NDP on the social issues. On the economic issues, I was obviously not very impressed with the NDP, and I'm not all that impressed with the Liberals either. So I would like to see an alternative. I think it would be good for the province. But there is maybe a sign of an alternative. The Conservative Party appears to be coming in again, but just what it'll do, I'm not sure. Whether they're going to have a candidate where I'm at, I don't know.
And for the referendum on STV, you'll be supporting that, will you?
I will be supporting. We need to change. It may not be the perfect change, but we need a change. We need a system that allows, I think, more diversity to come into government. There are good people in other political parties that I think could contribute a great deal to the process in Victoria, but they'll never get in with the system as we know it now, the first past the post.
Mr. Vander Zem, I thank you for your time today. Continued good luck with the book.
Thank you, Joseph. I appreciate the opportunity.
The book is called For the People. It's available on his website, billvanderzem.com. It is the autobiography of the 28th Premier of the Province of British Columbia. Bill Vander Zem on the line. I'm Joseph Plana.